Okay, good morning, everyone. Just to start, I'd like to say that my background training is in behavioral experimental psychology. I'm not a gamer, but I like to watch people play games and study how it is people go about doing it. I've been involved in rehearsal of concept war games, seminar war games, and every time they need a human factors expert knowledge elicitation person to collect information for them, they call me in. So I get to work on a variety of different kinds of games, but never become actually expert in a specific game. What happened was the Canadian Army needed to buy a replacement vehicle, and the intent of the vehicle that they were supposed to buy was supposed to replace our Coyote and our RG-31 and to complement the G-Wagon fleet in accordance with some statements of requirements. Our new tactical armored patrol vehicle, known as the TAP-V, was to fulfill a wide variety of roles on the battlefield, including but not limited to reconnaissance and surveillance, security, command and control, cargo, and armored personnel carrier. The vehicle shall be used in the full spectrum of operations from low intensity to high intensity conflicts in both permissive and non-permissive environments. And so after one of our really bright operations research analysts did a very complicated study on what the optimal vehicle is that they should buy, this is what we ended up with. So if you know anything about vehicles, this thing is massive on the outside. It's extremely tight to move around on the inside. You can see by the doors on the side, we get out on flank rather than in the back of our former, our light armored vehicles that we currently have. Ground clearance, you're 3 feet up, trying to jump out of this thing. And so, it has room in the front for the driver, the commander, one person to run the remote weapon system, and 3 dismounts in the back. Our sections are of 8. And so this was going to completely change the way we might configure our force structure, how we were going to move around the battlefield, and to use this vehicle in the way that was intended to be used. The reason we ended up with this is because when we were in Afghanistan, our labs didn't withstand going over the IEDs very well until we bolted on some V thingy on the bottom. That's the technical term. You see how much I know about vehicles. My thing is really assessment. So the colonel approached me to help him with doing a study. A second problem was the proposed distribution plan. More than half of these vehicles were going to be sent to the infantry companies, and about a third of them to recce squadrons. And so it was only for the infantry that we proposed that we would do a seminar war game to sort of discuss different configurations of different kinds of vehicles and support pieces that we would go out and do the enabling offensive, defensive, and stability ops. So for the game format, what my job was for the colonel was to determine the likely optimal force employment construct for the TAP-V just across the infantry corps and develop the TTPs for them to write the doctrine. My secondary purposes, which were my evil plan, was to provide evidence of the credibility of the approach. We heard yesterday morning Lieutenant Colonel Gardner talk about that we need to really really sell the credibility of seminar war games. And I believe, I can't remember who the speaker was, but he quoted Simone Sinek, who said, "I don't care how you do it, I don't want to know what's in it for me." I believe it was the business wargaming session. And my job, I really care about how you go about doing it. And so what I wanted to do was try and develop a more scientific approach in order to calm the critics who don't believe in the value of seminar wargame. Because we heard it over and over yesterday, you run these games yourselves. We know that they work, but the doubters are, well, where's the empirical evidence to show us that these work? So that was sort of my secondary task. So these games take an awful long time to plan, as the business people were telling us yesterday. I started out 5 months ahead of time. It was just myself and a lieutenant colonel planning the game. The courses of action were developed by the Infantry School of Excellence. The scenarios were created by my moderator, which often you refer to as your umpire or referee in your games. I akin them more to a moderator of a focus group. From a social science methodology perspective, that's sort of what we call them. And I like to keep my moderator separate from the assessor. I think there's a confound when you have your umpire trying to moderate the flow of a game and or also keep score at the same time. It introduces a source of bias that we would try to eliminate if we could. Throughout this time, as we worked with developing the scenarios, I created the data collection instruments and the scripts. We pilot tested the data collection instruments around February. I can't stress enough how important pilot testing as you work through your processes to work out problems in the game design, the logistics of the game, and the data collection instruments. I requested a certain number and level of expertise of people that I thought would be qualified to provide the kind of subject matter expert information we were looking for. And we set readout packages 2 weeks before the game started. So during the game, it took place over 3 days. We started with our background plenary briefs. We introduced the courses of action. I went over through the data collection that I was going to conduct, collected my biographical information, did a pretest of ranks, and then the colonel went into the specific operations briefs. So in terms of the people that showed up to play my game, they ranged from corporal to master warrant officer for the non-commissioned members, and half of them were captain to major rank. You can see on the bar chart on the left, they had a ranged number of years of service between 5 and 35 years. If you sum all those years, I had 310 years of experience in the room. The number of times they deployed were either between, time was deployed, up to a few had more than 6 deployments over the course of their career. Now, this bimodal distribution is sort of interesting to me. So when you drill down into that and separate out as a function of officers and non-commissioned members, then you sort of see the officers who have few deployments are actually doing that theoretical training. They're in school. We're training them to be the senior leaders. And we have our NCMs on the battlefield, the boots on the ground. From a methods perspective, I have the breadth, the range, the people who know the theory, the people who do the work on the ground to actually figure out the optimal employment of the vehicle and to figure out what those TTPs should be. So I did a pretest ranking. There were 5 codes developed for the game. And before we started, I wanted to see where everyone was. So I had them rank order from 5. The codes on the bottom are 1 through 5. When you look at the left side of the bars, that represents the most preferred option, and on the right side, the least preferred option. And the reason I sort of wanted to do a pretest was in my experimental design, in true experimental design, it's one of the weaker designs, but at least it's a pretest treatment post-test design, although it's a single group only. And the reason is when people say, well, I don't know why you're doing the work, and we already know what the answer is, so you don't need to sit around a table and waste a bunch of money for 3 days trying to figure out, because we know how this, what the optimal course of action or the answer should be. But clearly, this group of subject matter experts couldn't really distinguish between, well, is the 4th the best option? Is the 5th core the best option? So starting off, they weren't exactly certain which would be the optimal solution, and that's what I was supposed to get for the general in the end of the day. In addition to having the rank order, doing this consensus ranking, which I should point out, it's when you ask people to do a consensus ranking, it's more of an average. So 5 wasn't actually the best ranking. It's what most people agreed was the average Delphic best rating. In addition to that, I used doctrinal principles, the fundamental the principles and fundamental principles or and the fundamentals of war in our Canadian doctrine. So we already had specific criteria that we could use in addition to just having people rank things. So for each operation we went through, prior to doing the discussion, we went through and made sure that everybody had a similar understanding of what the principles and fundamentals of war, because even though I sent them a pre-reading package, we know nobody reads those. So I want to make sure they're all on the same page when we started, and I collected this additional data in order to say that if I only had done my second post-test ranking, or that there was no difference between pre-test ranking and post-test ranking, I could go here and try and drill down into some of these specific variables and see, okay, which would be the most important ones. And you can sort of see, other than in a few instances, COA number four being best in the concentration of force, and number one being top in depth, number five comes out as the preferred or the highest rated option. So when I do a second post-test, you can see that I've put a line around the box. We can clearly see now that from the pre-test to the post-test, which was a period of about 3 hours, nothing's happened in between. You can definitely see that whatever happened in that room through the discussions had an impact on the second ranking. So the game had an effect on how people chose the second rank. So because it was nothing happened in between, I can rule out things like history effects, maturation effects, attrition. I had the same game players in the same room. So it was whatever was going on that discussion had the effect of changing the ranks. Also here we have a complete reversal between what was the two least preferred options. Okay, so I have now evidence that Seminar War Games, this one in particular, was effective. I did a second thing. So the first time they did their post-test ranking, we had only discussed those variables against the operation. So in the last slide, it was offensive operations. And after they did all their rating, I had them do the rank. So that was the second time they did the test. At the very end of all of the discussion after the 3 days, not thinking about those specific principles or fundamentals of war, I had them rank again all the COAs. So this time they were ranking COA against COA rather than COA against criteria. And I came up with some sort of interesting, but it could be disturbing results, is that the second post-test varies quite a bit from the first post-test. Now, had I only done the second post-test, I could have come up with a very different answer. For example, let's say it's not the TAP-V, but I used this kind of method to say that we have five major procurement projects and we can only keep four of them. We're going to have to cut one. So I want to know what your top four preferences are. Depending on the timing of my post-test can make a big difference on which general's pet project gets cut. I'll just quickly go back to the results of my war game. I'm just going to wrap this up pretty quick here. COA 5, after all the assessments, both the pretest 1 and pretest 2, always came out as the preferred configuration. We generated a lot of techniques, tactics, and procedures that are being used to hopefully inform doctrine when it gets written sometime. A side effect of what happened was the distribution plan has now been revisited. Based on the information that we collected about how this vehicle was going to be used and the kind of footprint we'd have to leave on the battlefield and other things about it, the idea now is to take that vehicle away from the infantry so they're not getting out on the flank of it, and we're going to it's proposed it's going to be distributed more as a recce vehicle and probably to our military police. And something I just found out a couple of days ago was we've actually put a 2-year stop in the production, and they might be canceling part of the contract. We had ordered 500, and they might be cutting that number by some amount. But back to my two post-test rankings. Now I have a new research problem. I have that absolute ranking where I have people do it thinking about just specific criteria, or do I have people rank things relative to the other COAs? I've been thinking about this problem for a while, and there's got to be something different going on in people cognitively when you're asked to do such a rating and ranking exercise. I don't know what's going on inside people's heads, but clearly something different is happening during that time. And I don't think it's which one is better. It's under which conditions would you want people to do a relative ranking versus an explicit ranking. And I don't know what the answer is, so I'm sort of throwing that open to anyone who has some ideas on where I can go to do this. And I'd like to look for some opportunities to do some further testing of it. And that's the end.
Thank you.
You're welcome.